Our next case this morning is numbers 06-1803 and 1817, the United States against Black and McIntosh. Ms. Christensen.
May it please the Court. Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. My name is Joanna Christensen. I'm with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois. I represent Jason Black in this matter. This case presents a clear minor role issue, clearly supported by the facts. Unfortunately, Mr. Black did not object at sentencing and did not raise this issue and request a minor role reduction. The government argues that this is waiver of the issue, and of course Mr. Black asserts that although he did not raise it, it was merely forfeiture. As this court is well aware, forfeiture results from a failure to make a timely assertion, whereas waiver is an intentional relinquishment of a known right. There's nothing in the record in this case that indicates Mr. Black intentionally chose not to raise this issue. The government points to defense counsel's statement that there are no further objections to the pre-sentence report. However, this court has held in several cases that that is not necessarily the end of the determination when you're talking about waiver and forfeiture. You must look at the entire situation. And, for example, in the United States versus Jaime case, the defense counsel made that assertion and they had agreed to an enhancement and a plea agreement, and this court still found that it was not waiver, in fact, that it was forfeiture. In Jaime, this court said that the knowing and intentional decision is the touchstone of waiver analysis, and it just cannot be shown in this case that Mr. Black intentionally waived this issue. He was not aware he could raise it. In fact, no one discussed it, including the probation officer. Now, to the facts of the case, the minor role reduction is really supported by the evidence in this case. This was a vast conspiracy, starting with the Mexican cartel distributing marijuana through Texas, specifically El Paso, involving in just this shipment more than 450 kilograms of marijuana. It was being investigated for a long time, although it's unclear from the record, the agent would not specify how long it had been investigated. When you look at all of the people involved, even in just this incident, which of course is not the standard after 2001, but if you look at the entire picture in this case, Mr. Black was involved for maybe an hour in this vast conspiracy involving hundreds of kilograms of marijuana.
Is he held responsible for all of the drugs in the conspiracy, or just those that he would have some knowledge of?
He was held responsible for all the drugs that were on the pallet involved in this transaction.
Mm-hmm. On the pallet and in the truck, falling out of the truck, et cetera. So it's confined to this shipment, not everything involved in the conspiracy.
That's correct. But this court, as is discussed in the briefs, that analysis has changed for the minor role reduction. It used to be that if the defendant was held accountable for only what he was involved with, that he could not receive the minor role reduction. And the guidelines changed in 2001 and effectively, and this court has acknowledged, overruled this court's precedent. And a defendant can receive a minor role reduction even if he's only held accountable for the portion he's involved with. And that is certainly the case. And Mr. Black was undisputably involved with this 400, and I think it's 64 and some kilograms of marijuana. But looking at the wider conspiracy, it is clear that this was just one shipment of many. Mr. Posada, who was not one of the defendants at trial but one of the defendants charged, said that he was from El Paso but spent most of his time in Indiana helping out with the cartels. Marijuana distribution. That infers that he was an old hand at this, that he had been doing it for some time, assumably for the same people. And if you look at the phone calls that went back and forth between the agent, who was undercover, and the three defendants in this case, McIntosh and Posada were going back and forth quite a bit. There were just a few phone calls between Black and McIntosh, none between Black and Posada, who he did not know. And certainly none between Mr. Black and any of the other people involved in Texas or Mexico or Indiana, for that matter. There were other gentlemen who showed up to help unload this truck with Mr. Posada at various times. And for various reasons, they didn't unload the truck. And at the very end, when the agent had made basically an ultimatum, said, I left this pallet full of marijuana in a parking lot in downtown Indiana. Come get it, or you're going to lose it. Then they start to get desperate, and then Mr. Black gets call upon call upon call, sometimes immediately after, 30 seconds apart, to come help them because he's got a truck. This court said in the United States versus Hunt case that a minimal participant is one who unloaded a single shipment of marijuana. Mr. Black is not requesting the minimal reduction, which is four levels, but he is requesting a minor reduction, which is very similar to this court's example in the Hunt case. He helped load up this pallet full of marijuana into his truck and then drove it away, presumably then to distribute it to other people. Because the investigation was ongoing, they were caught after a high-speed chase, which we submit is one of the reasons he does not qualify for a minimal role, is that he certainly had knowledge of what was going on and attempted at least to flee. This court has also noted the scope of the conspiracy is very important, and that's certainly one of the strongest issues here. The vast scope of this conspiracy compared to Mr. Black's very short amount of time involved, an hour at the most, that was shown at trial, indicates that he should have received a minor role reduction. Unless this court has further questions, I'll reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Ms. Christensen.
Thank you.
We'll hear now from Ms. Connor.
Good morning, and may it please the court. I am Melanie Konauer. I was trial counsel as well as appellate counsel in regard to this particular case. The matter first to be looked at is whether or not there was a waiver of the argument that the defendant was entitled to a minor role. It's long been the case that the trial judge is not required nor expected to search for possible reductions, whether or not merited, to deem whether or not the defendant should receive them. That's long been the law. The defendant in this case chose strategically what arguments to make. He argued about his criminal history. He argued about Social Security numbers. He argued about the obstruction of justice element. He stated that he had reviewed the pre-sentence investigation. He made a statement to the court. At least twice the court said, are there any other bases? And Mr. Black and his counsel replied, no. When an individual makes a strategic decision not to argue for something, that is their decision, that's knowing and intelligent, and it's a waiver.
What would have been the reason for, speculatively I guess, for not requesting it?
If one looks at the facts of this case, Mr. Black was charged with a conspiracy of a very limited time and for only the amount of marijuana in that delivery, so as to not confuse the overall investigation with the offenses charged, we must look to, well, what was the trial court looking at? The trial court was looking at a very limited offense during which Mr. Black appeared with his truck. He was essential for picking up over 1,000 pounds of marijuana. He participated in putting all of that marijuana into his truck, and he had an essential role in attempting to escape law enforcement with a high-speed chase down crowded streets. That was not a minor role. So trial counsel may very well have thought it is better to argue some other issue rather than arguing one that isn't feasible.
What other issue?
They argued the criminal history. There was some dispute in regard to whether or not one of his prior convictions was a crime of resulting in sufficient imprisonment, and records were introduced at the time of sentencing to show that he did in fact, introduced by the government, that he did in fact receive a term of imprisonment. He also argued the obstruction, whether or not he actually was taking and making an unreasonable risk of harm during the flight, arguing the speed of the chase, whether or not those were the law enforcement officers' sirens would cause other people to clear the area, and approached their argument from that side. even if not waived, this argument was obviously forfeited. And the defendant does not make any of the four prongs to overcome the forfeiture argument. There was no error, let alone plain or clear. It certainly did not affect his substantial rights because there was no error, and it did not result in a serious jeopardy to the integrity or the public reputation of the court. Mr. Black was an essential member. There is nothing in the record to contradict that. You can't distribute marijuana if you can't pick it up from your courier. Mr. Black was more than a courier. Posada's phone, as the record shows, was not recovered. It may have gone out the window during the chase, driven by Mr. Black. So we have no way of showing or looking at the record and seeing what communications may have been between Mr. Black and Mr. Posada, because we don't have the phone number.
Well, clearly Posada was a more important participant. I guess that's got to be. He's the one that's in contact with the Texas people and with this. Was he in contact with the agent?
Posada's role, according to the record, was to represent the suppliers of the marijuana to be in Indianapolis. The statement that he made that he was here arranging loads, we have no way of knowing whether or not that was pure puffery because there was no prior interaction with the undercover agent whatsoever. What is not in the record before this court, but was in the record before the trial court, was that the sentencing of Mr. Posada, who was in fact a college student with no prior criminal history. So to say that he was overwhelmingly more culpable than Mr. Black, who was within a whisker, I think, as the court noted, of being a career criminal, is not completely clear on this record. And because it was never raised by Mr. Black, there was no discussion of that issue at the trial level.
What was Black's relationship with McIntosh?
They were apparently close associates.
So was that the reference? Is that where Black's name came from? Or did Posada know Black?
There is nothing in the record to indicate how Mr. Posada came into contact with Black and McIntosh.
With Posada and McIntosh?
I'm sorry, there was nothing in the record. Mr. Posada did not testify. So there was no evidence to be obtained by the government because neither Mr. Black nor Mr. McIntosh decided to testify as to how that contact was made or when it was made and whether it was McIntosh or Black that had to connect to Mr. Posada. And since that issue was not raised, we have nothing in the record to show it. That, in closing, I would note that where two reasonable minds could differ as to whether or not Mr. Black was a very essential component or a minor player, there can be no substantial error. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cohenauer. Ms. Christensen has 4 minutes.
Just briefly, Your Honors, I would, of course, dispute, and it's set out in our brief, that Mr. Black was not an essential part of this. The agent sat around in Indianapolis with this marijuana for 12 hours before Mr. Black was even called, according to the record. Posada spent these 12 hours trying to find someone to carry this marijuana to wherever it was going. He came with a minivan first and decided that they wouldn't do it. He came with a pickup truck next, and they decided they wouldn't do it. And then last, after many frantic calls, he called Mr. Black. This marijuana was clearly going to be taken somewhere. Whether Mr. Black did it or not really isn't essential to the conspiracy. Back to the waiver argument and strategic reasons, there's nothing in the record, searching the record, to show to me that counsel made a strategic reason not to raise the minor role issue. Mr. Black was not going to get acceptance of responsibility points because he had gone to trial. He was not bound by a plea agreement with the government promising him anything if he did or did not raise issues. And none of the facts that are discussed here are disputed. The facts clearly indicate there is an argument for minor role. The reasons for not raising it are unclear on the record. And like in the Jaime Jaime case, where there's nothing in the record to show why this meritorious argument had not been made, this court will find that it's not been waived, that it's a forfeiture, and that it can be, and in fact is, plain error and should be remanded for resentencing. Unless the court has any questions, I will.
Thank you, Ms. Christensen.
Thank you.
Our thanks to both counsel. This case will be taken under advisement.